here we go. It's a Getaway Friday. Friday, August the 21st, 2020, 8:21:20, 16 minutes past the hour. And as we promised yesterday, very kindly, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, joins us again here in the studio to discuss the last night of the Democratic National Convention, the speech given by Joe Biden. And we're going to discuss a whole lot of other things today as well. It's always a pleasure to welcome to these microphones Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
I'm fine, and it's always fun to be here, Scott.
Mary Ellen, the speech last night by Joe Biden, let's just start right off the top. What'd you make of it?
I thought it was great.
Do you think it did away with the whole image of him being a doddering old man?
Well, it should. I mean, he's not a doddering old man. He's still with it, and he's able to do what he has to do as president, and we certainly need him in there.
How would you qualify that speech? What did he do for people last night?
Well, he bolstered their confidence in him. I think it took care of that. I heard a lot of people that were concerned. I think they thought he'd make mistakes. In fact, you even asked me yesterday, you said, do you think he'll make a mistake? And I said, well, you don't make a mistake in a speech, really. It's when you ask questions. It's the hardest part of not making a mistake. It is for me, anyway. And so I just thought he did a great job.
When it comes to the debates, which will come up here in about a month, do you think that will be a more difficult challenge?
Well, I think he'll be prepared for it. I mean, he knows government, and I don't think Trump does. And I think he'll be able to handle whatever. Trump's going to say some things that maybe aren't true. It could happen. I think Biden will be well prepared for the debate.
Was it smart last night? He went after the president a little bit, but I don't think to the degree people thought he would. Was that the smart thing to do?
Yes, I thought it was the way he should do it. You don't have to beat on the president all the time. We all know he's did a terrible job, and we don't have to be told about it again. He's got Kamala to take care of that.
Do you think he won anybody over last night?
Oh, I think so. Yes, I'm sure he did. I'm sure there was a lot of people watching. I didn't hear the numbers or anything, but I would think there would be a lot of people watching it last night.
Were you surprised at all the video packages and I guess they were really all video packages about Bo Biden?
Yes, I was surprised about that. Yeah. I was.
In his speech, he did mention him once, and mm-hmm. he about broke up at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I had to be careful when I gave a speech if I talked about something sensitive. Sometimes I just wouldn't go that direction because I did not want to shed any tears in a speech, you know. And you really have to be careful of that.
He is an interesting man. The video packages I thought were very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to me, the people who were in those video packages and what they said, the people who'd worked with him in the Senate, the people who'd been around him a long time, because, you know, I don't know if, I still say, I don't know if most people know Joe Biden in general. I think if you went out to the average voter and said, tell me about him, they might say vice president, but other than that, I don't know if they'd know a whole lot.
Probably not, because really and truly, how much do you know about the people in the Senate unless they are doing something wild or get in trouble or, you know, I mean, he was in the Senate for such a long time, and he dealt with an awful lot of situations in the Senate, I'm sure. And I think it would be so difficult there now. Of course, he was out of it when he became vice president, but so difficult with the way it's being run and how the Democrats have to deal with it, what they've got to deal with there would be unreal.
I thought the most effective piece last night was the 13-year-old boy with the stutter.
Yes. I've been around a lot of people, or quite a few people, that stuttered. And in fact, John Glenn's wife was another one that had that problem. And that was very interesting.
Do you think, I think it was the most effective piece all night. How effective do you think that piece was?
Oh, I thought it was very effective. I really was not wild about all the former candidates speaking. I thought there was too many candidates speaking. I wanted to hear other things.
I want to come back just to this boy for a second, because you always wonder, and I guess it's just the cynical country we live in right now. There was so much talk about Joe Biden being the guy who will call you on the phone and help this kid who was stuttering, and so on. Do you think that's more? Is that 100% truth? Or is that we're trying to get a guy elected president?
Well, I think it's the way he is. He's a very warm, caring person. I've felt that about him, it's all right to go through all of that, and maybe they overdid it a little bit. I don't know, but that's the way he is. I know that.
I do want to get to the other candidates. If you watched it last night, you'll know what I'm talking about, but there was this point before Biden spoke where you had Cory Booker moderating about five, one which was Bernie Sanders. I've never heard Bernie Sanders be that effusive as he was, I thought, in that bit. Did you find him effusive in his support of Joe Biden? When he said conservative, progressive, mainstream, we all have to vote for Joe Biden. He certainly was not all that in on Hillary.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. Bernie Sanders, to me, is a strange guy. I don't know. I hope he is a good supporter of Biden. I think he will be, because he should be.
The bit was Cory Booker was moderating this, and you had Klobuchar, you had Bernie Sanders, you had Elizabeth Warren, you had Beto O'Rourke, who I'd forgotten about. He was there.
Buttigieg. The New York guy.
He spoke alone, though.
Yes.
How did he get his own?
I don't know. I thought, oh, that's right, he did run.
yeah, he did. We forgot. That 10 minutes he ran.
Yeah, right.
And then who was it who went at? Was it Klobuchar who went after him so horribly?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was her.
Maybe that's why they weren't in the same video package. They haven't healed that way. But so they get all these past candidates together, and they all tell a story about Joe Biden.
Yeah.
What did you make of that?
Well, I got kind of tired of it. I don't know. I wanted somebody to give me something sparkly or something in there. I don't know what I would have done, but I thought they sort of stretched it too long, and I felt that last night was, if it hadn't been for Joe Biden, it was a nothing night to me.
You know, I would. We'll get your opinion on this, but what did you make of Bloomberg's 6-minute in front of the flags?
Well, it's always fun to know how many minutes each one got. Like somebody got 1 minute, somebody got 4 minutes. You know, I find that very interesting on how they decided how many minutes each person got.
and I don't know how Bloomberg got his own segment.
Well, you know, he's got a lot of money.
And
I think that might be the answer.
might be a big donator there. Donator to the party.
Yeah.
But he, and his, you know, his part to me, I thought, how many people around the country know who this guy is?
Well, believe me, I know who he is. Yeah.
Bloomberg?
Yeah. I know who he is.
Well, as you said, last night, aside from Biden, was kind of a nothing night. Mm-hmm. Which night do you think was the most effective?
I thought the first night was really great. They sang that Star Spangled Banner. They had the kids all over the country singing it, and it was the most beautiful Star Spangled Banner I ever heard. And then we had Michelle Bachmann and
Obama. Obama.
You know, I have made a mistake on that more than once. Do you remember Michelle Bachmann?
I do remember Michelle.
Good grief, how can I mix up the two because they're nothing alike?
Those are polar opposites.
Yes, and she's disappeared from the face. Maybe we'll see her next week. I don't know. But no, Michelle Obama was just so terrific. And let's see. Well, I thought Obama, he was on, the second night or the third night?
Third night.
Yeah, he did a great job. He just unnerved me to the point where I couldn't sleep, thinking about that our democracy's going away. That's a horrible thought to think we'll become a dictatorship. Can you imagine America being a dictatorship? I can with Trump at the helm. And
would it be possible with having a Democratic Congress? Isn't there just so much he can do, though?
Well, not when the Republican senators don't do a blessed thing. See, they can't get anything through.
Do you see the Senate going Democrat this year?
Yes, I do.
You think it'll be all Democrat?
I hope so, because that way we can really make some progress.
What would the progress be? Obama's was health care.
Yes, and they want to make sure that health care stays in there. That they talked about that last night. It's such an issue because Trump has been trying to do away with it ever since he was in. And before he was in, they were trying desperately to do away with that, the Republican Senate. Yeah.
We now know how the conventions are going to go. I assume the Republican convention will run similar. How is this campaign going to be fought? You can't do rallies. I don't think the COVID thing is going to be gone before November. I think we have 75 days now. How is the rest of this going to be done?
Television.
Just television.
Yeah.
Is it going to be like Ross Perot where they buy half hours and we listen?
What? Wasn't that something?
Oh, boy.
You know, Ross Perot lives real close to the Fort Knox Mint down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, you can see his operation right across the land there where he's located. And I always would think about him when I went to the Fort Worth Mint to visit. But, there's so many. You know, politics is so interesting. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I just always enjoyed it because it was meeting the people. You know, when you campaigned, you had the bad stuff, but you had all this time where you got to meet people and talk to them and find out what they wanted to tell you. They always had something on their mind they wanted to get across to you. I think it's terrific.
It's interesting because there was a lot of talk yesterday. I read a newspaper article, I think in the USA Today, that talked about how well the Democrats were able to pull this off during the pandemic, and that Trump and his team were really scrambling to top it. What do you think we'll see next week?
Well, you're not going to see any past presidents there.
No.
And that's going to be very unusual. And they're going to probably they're probably going to throw the book at everything. You know, that'll be the way it goes.
I will be interested in Trump's speech.
Yeah,
because
I hope he stays on target.
I mean, I would think he would have to be hopeful at this point.
I don't know.
I'm still trying to figure out who the other speakers are going to be.
Yeah, right. They haven't said, have they?
No. I mean, Pence will obviously speak.
Yeah, oh, he's terrific. He'll be terrific, I'm sure.
he'll have his moment.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who else. Who are the big people in that party right now who support the president?
Maybe they could have Bannon speak.
they might. His hands are a little tied right now. What did you make of that yesterday?
Oh, listen, that is so interesting on what they did. And yeah.
Took the build the wall money.
Right. And spent it on themselves and whatever, you know.
You know, it's very strange. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, and because I want to believe the best in everybody, do you think that some of these people just didn't know the rules because they didn't come from that field?
No, they knew the rules. They have lawyers all piled around them like you wouldn't believe. You can't do anything without lawyers all around you, everywhere in government. They knew what was right and what was wrong. Yeah.
Why in the world, then, do these people, like Bannon, like Cohen, like Papadopoulos, like, can't think of his name, the one who's in jail today. Manafort. Stone, who would have went to jail. Why do they do it?
They think they'll get away with it. Sure. Everybody that does it thinks they'll get away with it. Mm. Yeah. The householder thought he'd get away with it.
I still think he thinks he will.
Yeah, I think he's working on it. He's got nobody running against him. He's probably going to get elected again. Can you believe that?
Well, that's an interesting thing, because does anything matter anymore beside the R and the D?
Well, we want good people in there. We don't want people that are not following the law. That's the basic thing. Follow the law and you'll be all right. If you don't follow the law, you won't be. And there's a lot of people haven't learned that yet.
An interesting story that I read yesterday, because it has to do with our congressman. When you think about it, our congressman, Jim Jordan, that's a very, it's not a huge area that he covers, but he's become a national figure to the point of where he said yesterday he will go to Pennsylvania, he will go all over Ohio, he will go to Michigan to campaign for the president.
Well, have you heard from his opponent?
She was on Glenn Coble's show.
When?
About a month ago.
Well, she ought to be really working.
Well, apparently he doesn't seem to be too worried, because
he's
working for the president.
Yes, he's all over the place and not worrying about his own campaign, so that tells you something.
Do you think he's a shoo-in, as much as I know you'd rather he not be?
That's a terrible question to ask me.
he seemed to be a shoo-in. When he's ran.
Well, it's the way the map is drawn up for our party, I think, has a lot to do with it. But they should be really working that campaign to get him out of there.
Do you think it matters if Jim Jordan goes to Pennsylvania? Do they care?
I don't know if they do or not. It'll be interesting to find out. Maybe we'll find out when he goes, you know. Pennsylvania is pretty safe, isn't it? Aren't they saying it's pretty safe for Biden?
They said Hillary was 12 points ahead in Pennsylvania.
Well, yeah, and can you believe it? Yeah, right.
That was the one I didn't understand, because they had Michigan close and they did have Wisconsin close, but they had Pennsylvania off by more than the margin of error.
And they had that last big event in Pennsylvania, where
the final
speech and everything there, and then the people didn't go vote, I guess.
You know, I don't know what happened there. That was the night that Obama apparently walked up to Hillary on stage and whispered in her ear and said, "You got this."
Yeah.
Apparently not.
Oh, I tell you, yeah. I don't think it was such a shock.
She does seem to be, I don't want to say she's over it, because maybe she's still angry, but she does seem to be on to the next thing.
Yeah, she does. Uh-huh. She was on this morning on Morning Joe, I think it was. Yeah. And she has the same hairstyle.
Oh, no. You know, yesterday.
Did you get anybody to respond to that?
Oh, yeah.
Did
oh,
you?
Yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Well, have you ever had one of those things you don't think about? Like 24 hours later, it'll dawn on you, and you're in a room by yourself, and you'll start to laugh because it. Well, you know, we talked yesterday, and anybody who saw Hillary Wednesday night, she had a different hairdo, and it made everybody think of Charlie, whoever listened to this station, because he made fun of her hair.
Yeah.
It was in his theme song. It was all over the place.
Yeah.
And somebody sent me a message last night about it. And I'd forgotten about this, and it didn't dawn on me at the time, but then it dawned on me last night, and I just started to laugh. Because what Charlie said was, I remember the conversation now, word for it was he and Marianne Michaels. It was when Hillary announced she was going to run back in 2015. And Marianne Michaels said, I would love a woman in the White House. And Charlie said, oh, yeah, there needs to be. And he said, I like Hillary, but she's got to do something about her hair. He said, it's just long, straight long. And I thought, it was the other night. It was long, straight long.
Yeah.
Why does she do that?
I don't know why she did it. She looked so good with her hair when she was running for office. Her hair was really nice, you know.
I could hear Charlie say long, straight long last night, and it just, and I thought, oh my goodness, she did it again.
Yeah, right.
Is that just when she's not running for office, she goes for those?
I think she's just trying something new, and I don't know. Bill ought to tell her, Hillary, get the haircut or something.
You know who used to get on her about the hairstyles? Because this has been a thing now for many. It didn't start with Charlie. It's been going on for years with her and her hair. Ann Richards.
Oh.
I remember when Ann Richards died, governor of Texas, popular figure, and Hillary gave one of the eulogies. And she said, Ann used to say to Hillary, you just got to do something with your hair. You got to leave it one way and stop doing what you're doing.
Yes.
It's interesting how that is with women.
Yeah. Ann Richards was a good friend of mine.
Really?
Yeah. She was state treasurer at the same time I was, and we did a lot of things together.
Was she that woman, that quick-witted,
yes,
funny?
Yes. Yeah, that's what got her where she was. The guy from California, he used to get her to, you know, he used to tease her and get her to say things, and she was always so quick, yeah.
Liz, do you remember Liz Smith, the gossip columnist from New York?
No.
She was a famous, and Ann Richards, after she lost the gubernatorial race in Texas, she moved to New York. And she became a friend of Liz Smith. And Liz came on the show once, and she told an Ann Richards story that it was so funny to me. And because I'll tell the story as best I can here, but this is what, apparently Liz Smith and Ann Richards were being approached to do a talk show at some point, a television talk show. And they were at a very fancy restaurant with the head of ABC Television. And apparently, Liz Smith had said something nasty in her column about the actor Tony Curtis.
Oh.
Well, he just happened to walk into the restaurant while they're having this meeting with ABC. So Tony Curtis walks up to the table where Ann Richards and Liz Smith and the ABC executive are, and he says an expletive you to Liz Smith. And you can fill in what that is.
Right.
And he says that, and it causes this commotion at the restaurant, and they're dragging Tony Curtis out because he's screaming at Liz Smith. And she said she looked over at Ann Richards, and she was just on the floor laughing at this. And she said ever after that, if they were ever at a party together and it was boring, Ann would lean over and say, Liz, this is boring. Call up Tony Curtis and see if we can get him over here.
Yeah. Well, when I was thinking about running for governor, I went down and visited Ann Richards and asked her about her. She was governor then at that time, and she said, I'm tired all the time. I remember. She said, all I do is go to different parts of the state, and the state is so big, I'm just worn out. And I just remember that so well.
She was somebody who had a real feud with the Bushes.
Yes. Well, why wouldn't she? I mean, George beat her then for governor the second term.
Do you think that was payback for the 88 Democratic convention?
Could have been.
For those who don't remember, yeah, Ann Richards was the keynote speaker,
mm-hmm,
at the 88 convention, and she said George Bush was born with a silver spoon in his mouth or something.
Right.
Well, this did not go over well, mm-hmm, with people, and George W. Bush, his son, years later, ran against her for governor and beat her.
Yeah.
So do you think that was...
Very well could have been.
Comeuppance.
Yeah, could have been. I remember listening to her on how she was raising money when she was running for governor. I was, you know, quite interested in that because I was going to have to do that. And she was really working with the women's groups and going that direction. It's always fun to see how people do what they do.
Are you still surprised that there are no women in 100 years after women got the right to vote? Never a woman governor, never a woman mayor, still no women on the presidential level. Now, it could happen this election.
Well, there's a lot of women, though. My gosh, all the women governors that you hear and watch on television, I'm always amazed.
Because these are some ceilings that you broke.
Yeah.
First woman on Elgin School Board.
First woman county treasurer.
First woman county treasurer. And became state treasurer and treasurer of the United States. There weren't a whole lot of women before you in those positions.
Well, one woman before me is in state treasurer, and she got it because her husband had been lieutenant governor and her father-in-law had been governor. Look at that. I had no connections.
So what was the secret to women who want to be in government today? What's the secret of how to do it? Why? How do you break that ceiling, as Hillary Clinton says?
Well, you'd have to look at the situation. Every situation is different, and you'd have to work it the way it's going to get the attention of the public. That's what you have to have, is their attention, and how you do that depends on the situation. And so that's every one of my adventures into getting into something different. It's all very different. You can't do anything the same. And you should have somebody with expertise helping you. That's very important, I think. I didn't have in the beginning, but I know now how important it is. And it's more difficult now, I really think. Raising money for a state treasurer's position was, say, $750,000. Now it's $1 million or $1.5 million. Everything is more expensive, and that means you have to raise that much more money. And I've been impressed with the gal running against Jim Jordan. Shannon Freshour has been able to raise a lot of money, so I'm hoping she'll be on television, and I haven't been able to meet her yet. Somehow that hasn't happened, but she needs to really be out there doing things.
As silly as it sounds, when you were running for these offices, what was the biggest negative that was thrown at you just for being a woman, just because of your gender?
Well, the first time when I ran and lost, it was, she's got a family. And I was running against a woman that was not married. And they said, she doesn't have time to do that job. And my husband said, well, she's not going to be home anyway. And he was always coming up with these statements that would make me laugh because he had that ability. You know, they had this thing break in the Cleveland Plain Dealer one morning, and I was state treasurer, and it was when I was running the second time for state treasurer. And when I remember telling Norman about it, he said, well, you're going to have to get on your alligator suit. And the people at the office they thought I was going to be really bent out of shape about it. And when I got to the office, they said, did you see that article? And I said, yeah, Norman told me I was going to have to get on my alligator suit. And everybody just laughed. And we But, you know, it is so difficult to be criticized. And you have the answers. And my answers were always three paragraphs long with money. You can't just do it simply. And that's what made it so hard to fight anybody that was, you know, coming out with something that was all screwed up. It was all screwed up what they wrote, but that didn't matter.
Was there, of your entire political career, what was the worst day?
I think it was the day that I found out I couldn't get any money for radio when I was running in the primary for state treasurer the first time. I had gone to Cleveland to talk to this group, and all of the candidates were there. And this prosecutor from Dayton really, we had a time, we could speak for, I think it was 5 minutes, and I was one of the first ones to speak, and then this prosecutor from Dayton spoke and really criticized me. That's all he did, was criticize me. And then I left there, and I found out that I didn't get the money for the radio, and I just felt like it was over. And I called up a friend of mine, and he said, well, stop in on your way home. And so I stopped in. They were at a hotel, and I sat there, and we talked, and I felt better. And but that was a dark moment, because I thought I'd had it. Then the more I heard about the way the treasurer's office had been run, I mean, I had everybody that was in office, Tony Celebrezzi and everybody, was telling me what a mess it was. And that was another time when it really got dark. And I'd go home and I would shake. I mean, I wasn't so nervous about this. It was just really, really hard. And people have no idea what I went through, because it was not easy. It was not easy at all.
You know, before this pandemic hit, they were filming your life story,
yeah,
biography,
yeah,
and also you've talked about starting and working on a book from time to time. Is there anything in that video or would be in that book that would be a surprise to people? What would be the surprise?
Well, fact that I sat in the electric chair. my dad took me through the Columbus prison, whatever they called it at that time, and I was 5 years old, and they said you want to sit in the electric chair, so I did, and they gave me a little tea. It was a little tea kettle made out of a penny that they were making at in the prison, the prisoners. And I remember looking at these guys in the cells when we walked through, and, you know, it was pretty impressive. And I don't think people know that I sat in the electric chair.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
My dad was trying to show me life. He took me to a wrestling match and a fight. My grandmother, too. Neither one of us were the same for several days after that. And, yeah, he tried to show me what life was like, and he always felt that women should be equal. He was a great believer in that.
Who was the biggest influence in your life?
My dad.
Your dad?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was he like?
He was terrific. He was involved in everything. And he was on the fair board for years. He was on the hospital board when they built the hospital that we use now. And he was a farmer, and he was one of the best men I can think of. I mean, he was really a good person.
Because of the way life goes, and nobody's parents live forever, and they're older than us. What would they have thought?
He would have been campaigning all over the place for me, and he died when he was 64, so he didn't get to see any of this. But he had always said, well, they always wanted him to run for county commissioner. He said, I'll lose all my friends if I run for office, and I always thought about that. But my grandfather would have been out campaigning for me, too. He was another person that would have been so excited about all of it.
Did your mother have a great influence?
My mother was a wonderful mother, but she was not the type that would be involved in anything like that. She just wasn't. She just wasn't the type that would do things that were unusual for women. That's the way I would describe it. She was a perfect mother. I mean, she was. She just took care of everything in the house and raised chickens and planted flowers. But she was not a person that would ever run for office.
You know what's interesting? I'll never forget this. One time I was interviewing Joan Benny, Jack Benny's daughter, and she just spoke so glowingly of her father, Jack Benny. And for people who remember Jack Benny, he was married also to a pretty famous person, Mary Livingston. Jack Benny loved her. And when I said, well, what was your... Because she was not mentioning her mother at all in this interview. And I thought, well, maybe it's just because I'm not asking. So then what was it like to be the daughter of Mary Livingston? And I don't think she hated her. It wasn't that.
Oh.
It's just... she didn't have that relationship with her. That there wasn't, she just wasn't as close. That wasn't the person she went to. And it's interesting when you talk to people, kind of like with your dad and mom. Your dad was proactive in these things, and not that your mom did anything wrong. She just wasn't involved in that sort of thing.
She was involved in the church, we got along great. I mean, she got me involved in music and the piano and all of that. She was a big supporter of me trying to play the piano. She taught me, and then I took lessons from Miss Worley, who was pretty famous in Marion here. My parents were terrific for me. I couldn't have had better parents.
Now, you had some siblings, right?
I had a brother that was 9 years older.
Yeah. Now, was he around for any of your successes?
Yes. He was around until... He was around when I was sworn in as U.S. Treasurer, and I tried to get him to come to Washington, but he didn't come because he said he was carrying mail and listened to it on the radio.
Did you have a close relationship with him?
Yes, he was always good to me. He took me places, and he was good, but he also tried to electrocute me.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, he had the car wired so it would shock people. And so he'd say, hey, come over here, and he'd be in the car. I'd lean on the car, and then he'd shock me. Yeah.
It's funny to think, and also the other end is interesting. What kind of mother do you think you were?
I was very involved in everything and also taking care of my family, and I went to work. I said, I can't be worrying about whether they make cheerleader or not. I've got to get a job. So I did, yeah.
And what kind of grandma are you?
Oh, I was always in office. My grandchildren saw me not so much, you know.
Did they call you grandma?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that has went away? They don't call people grandma anymore. I don't know what happened.
They called me, some of them called me Mimi, but that was different families called me different things, but most of them call me grandma. And my great-grandchildren, it gets farther and farther removed, and I try to stay connected with them, and of course we see each other at the holidays and so forth. But it's great grandchildren are removed a little bit too much. You can't really feel like you know them very well, and they don't live around here. Yeah.
The ones that have lived around since you've come back, now do the grandkids come and visit? Is that?
Yeah, they do. And my my granddaughter Gigi, she's a senior at Cleveland State now. She comes to visit me, and she will just sit and talk. She brought her boyfriend the other day, and I got to see him. And she has purple hair, and she's just a real sweetheart. And I've got an equal number of granddaughters and grandsons, which I find that interesting.
Is there one that you look at and say, that I can see that person following in my footsteps?
No, I don't think any of them will.
Do you think there's a reason?
No. I don't. I would be very surprised. Now, my oldest daughter was thinking about running after the 2016 election, and she was thinking about running for county commissioner, and I said, oh, you don't want to do that. I said, everybody criticizes you every other day. And I guess I talked her out of it, and maybe I shouldn't have. But I think maybe somebody will someday, but I can't see it happening, really.
This is a question, political or any career. When you have a big career and you have big success, which certainly you did, and I don't know why it falls to the women. They never ask the men this. But did you ever feel like you spent too much time at work, that you weren't there enough, and you take the blame for that?
Well, while I was raising my family, I was here in Marion. I was county treasurer. And then my only daughter that was younger was a junior when I became state treasurer. So she's the only one that I missed out on some of her events, like going to seeing her when she went to the prom. And Norman was taking care of making sure she got where she was supposed to go. But all the rest had left home by then. And so it worked out very well for me. But if I had had small children when I was state treasurer, I could not have done it. It's impossible. I say it's impossible.
It's interesting because that's a part that really doesn't get talked about. I don't know if we've ever talked about this. You did start your political career at an age that wasn't 21.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you think that worked for you or against you?
I think it was a plus. At 21, I didn't know. I had no idea what I would have done if somebody had said something about running for office. I would never have done it at that age. And then when it did happen, it has to be the right people asking you or you don't pay any attention. And that was always my measure, who the people were that were asking me to run, whether I should think about it or not. And,
You're coming up on a big birthday this October.
Yes, yes. It's got a zero
it's
in it.
It's got a zero
yeah,
in it.
Right.
I'm not going to be the newspapers and say it on the air.
Okay.
But big birthday.
Yeah.
And you had a huge celebration for your last birthday that had a zero in it.
Yeah.
At this point, still in good health.
Yes.
Still doing everything you want to do. Is there still something you want to do that you haven't done?
Well, you know, I'm going to a presidential debate, and that's a real plus. I've never done that. Now, who knows what's going to happen in the next, year or two, but I'm very grateful for my health. I mean, I'm so grateful every day that I feel good, and everything's going pretty well now.
If the election were held today, the presidential election, who would win?
Oh, I think Joe Biden would win. Yeah, I'm going to vote as soon as I can vote, as soon as they open it up.
You know, Mary Ellen, the time goes by so fast. We didn't get to talk about anybody's picadillos.
Those are always good conversations.
We wanted to talk about Harding's picadillos and other things that people have done. We'll have to have you back soon because that is an interesting subject.
Yes.
Because you were here in Marion when Harding was around, but when a lot of this stuff was, you know, big time back in those days.
Yeah.
So we'll have to have you back. Mary Ellen, it's always a pleasure.
Yes, it is a pleasure. Thanks, Scott.
I'll be back in 15 minutes. Stay tuned.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT McKinney.